Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you're ready for this,
say you're ready for this.
If you're ready for this,
say you're ready for this.
Are you ready for this? We're ready for this. Are you ready for this? We're ready for this. What we just can't miss.
We just can't miss.
What we just can't miss.
With a beat like this.
It's the joint.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, the floor is yours.
Yes, I want to first thank our listeners. It's not going to be official until tomorrow, I think on Tuesday, but we've seen the ratings up for January so far, and it's might be the best ratings we've ever received on the show. So thank you guys very much. It looks like we're going to be by far number one in all demos. So this is, once again, we have the best listeners in radio. It was proven last night at Pucks and Paddles, very charitable. But once again, just want to say thank you very much for listening to the show. And we will try to continue to not suck. But one thing we have to get to first. We love Troy Brown. Troy Brown is somebody that every time he's in studio, we have a blast with the guy. There's a side of him that I don't think he gets to put out there when he's doing just kind of X's and O's over on NBCSN. And he feels comfortable in the studio with us, and some of his stories have been fantastic. And he's a guy I think that in the future we're going to have in the studio more often. But we did do a game with him. We had him sit with us, and so are you guys ready for our new game?
Yes, John, this is on you. You are the contestant.
Are you guys ready?
Okay.
All right, take it away, Troy Brown.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Touchdown!
I love weird 80s mod rock. So today, I am Troy George. Gnarly.
Come a chameleon.
You come and go. Troy George. Loving with these iffy colors were like my dreams. Red, gold, and green.
I never knew what they were saying there.
I had no idea.
Why the hell are they saying red, gold, and green?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm just never going to look at Brown highlights the same way again after this.
All I know is the Josh show over at NBCSN has a Photoshop of Troy Brown wearing his very sensible pink sweater and the Boy George hat.
Okay. Dan has a good point. He looks like he's in El DeBarge. I mean,
it's a good call. That's right.
You could tell me that he was in El DeBarge. I would believe that.
All right, dance to the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Is that El DeBarge?
Me too.
That's from The Last Dragon?
Oh, yeah.
Of course it was, yes.
And the video for that was surrounded by the Last Dragon, I believe.
Are you the baddest? Show enough.
That's right.
All right, so here's how it's going to work. You are going to have to identify the artist in which Troy George, Troy Brown's alter ego, his 80s-loving alter ego, the artist that he is doing the lyrics of. Okay, John? All right. Okay. Now, I know that this is obviously your wheelhouse. You were 40 in the 80s.
Mod rock.
This is maybe a little bit after your time.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm
more Saturday Night Fever.
John was very into disco.
Talk to me about Open Sesame and Cool and the Gang. Then we can talk.
Open Sesame?
Yeah. Open Sesame.
Now, this is like, you know, Fish Heads or Dr. Demento songs.
I was all into that. I wasn't into this. All right. Let's see what we can do.
All right. Let's start with song number one. Take it away, Troy Brown.
Cause you're too shy, hush, eye to eye. Too shy, hush, eye to eye.
Okay.
We're going Kaja Gugu.
Oh, John Wallach, yes, sir.
Hey, girl. Move a little closer. Cause you're too shy, hush, eye to eye. Too shy, hush. Crystal Pepsi.
That's correct. You got it.
All right. Again, these lyrics that I never knew. Mm-hmm. Hush, hush, eye to eye. I never knew what they were saying.
Yeah. Troy George.
That's right. That is Troy George.
Everything that's popping up is Silver Spoons.
Yes, it is.
Just keep thinking of the
Crystal
train.
All right.
Very good. So you got the first one.
Okay.
Name the artist that Troy George is performing here.
I'm a deus.
Okay.
Is that Falco?
That is Falco.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
I knew that.
It is Falco.
I'm a deus.
That's right. It is Falco.
I'm a deus.
Amadeus. Come on and rock me, Amadeus. Amadeus, Amadeus. Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus. Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus. Amadeus. Come on and rock me, Amadeus.
By the way, that was a song that people played on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think like
70% of what it was about.
70% of it's like in German, isn't it?
Yes.
That was, and that was, they played a lot of German songs. 99 Luftballons.
Right.
Then they had the
one. Der Kommissar.
Yeah, Der Kommissar.
There were two of them. There was Falco did one, and After the Fire did the other in English.
I believe so.
Yes.
There you go, Falco. Mm-hmm. Crossing all kinds of languages.
Sure. By the way, see if you can guess which ones he's heard of and which ones he's never heard before in his life. Okay, okay. You can pretty much tell by the
Falco
way.
Falco has to be dead, correct?
He's got it.
You can't live that
Falco
fast.
Has to be dead.
You can't live that fast.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah, I would think
Boy George.
Yes, I believe he is dead. But Boy George is alive, right?
Yes.
Okay, I think he is alive. All right, which artist is Troy Brown, a.k.a. his 80s alter ego, Troy George, performing here?
Come on, Eileen. Oh, I swear what he means. At this moment, you mean everything.
Okay, I don't think he's ever heard that one.
No, I'm fairly certain you're right.
I obviously know the song, but again, these lyrics.
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Oh, John Wallace!
Come on, Eileen. Oh, I swear what he means. At this moment, you mean everything. You in that dress. Oh, my thoughts, I confess. Heard on their teeth. Oh, come on, Eileen. That's how the song goes.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
John, was there a point in your life where you adopted the overalls and ragtag?
No, with the rolled up cuffs, I never did that with the shoes.
You
no.
knew that they were going to be around forever.
I know,
right?
When you saw their whole steez, was that they were going to wear overalls and like put like suit on their face.
Yeah, he did it before Sinbad ever did. So
that's right.
He was a groundbreaker.
No, Troy George.
Yeah, like, that was never going to get old.
Probably not.
What do you want to be? We're going to be like old hobos.
You're going to play in Nebraska. Well, I might want to put a sweater on. I don't think the overalls with no shirt on is going to work. All right. So which artist is Troy Brown, a.k.a. his 80s alter ego, Troy George, performing here?
Take on me. Take on me. Take on me.
How can you go through life not hearing that song?
It's one of the biggest songs of that era.
That would be Aha, Rich.
Take on me. Take on me. Take me on. Take on me.
I was wondering if he was really going to try and stick the high note there.
No, he copped out on that one. Because he didn't know there was a high note.
I know.
He's never heard that song
before he was born.
In his life.
Troy George.
Yeah. There's somewhere he's like, oh, yeah, that's my jam. But that's not one
no,
of them.
No, no, no.
I don't know how you can go through life without having heard that song in some incarnation.
You would think so. Okay, so which 80s song is Troy Brown, a.k.a. Troy George, performing here? Which artist, John Wallach? Here we go.
I'm walking on sunshine, whoa, I'm walking on sunshine, whoa.
Katrina and the Waves.
Oh, John Wallach.
Michael J. Fox movie, Secret of My Success.
I'm walking on sunshine, whoa, I'm walking on sunshine, whoa, I'm walking on sunshine, whoa, and don't it feel good?
Troy George, take a chill pill.
And don't it feel good?
Weird 80s mod rock.
He heard that one.
No, I was just going to say, that one
that
was pretty close.
He walked in there, he's like, walking on sunshine.
Troy George.
That's my jam.
Well, you know, Bill Belichick would have the Secret of My Success running on a loop to inspire the troops.
Now, if he did Night Ranger, I'd really be impressed.
Well, Sister Christian?
That's not a one-off
song. It's not mod rock either. Okay. All right, so finally, you're 5 for 5, John Wallach. This is impressive.
All right.
No, it's not. These are easy as hell.
Well, I mean, Falco?
Yes.
Did everyone know Falco?
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe they did. All right.
I mean, we're all old.
what is this final song that Troy Brown, a.k.a. Troy George, is performing here?
Now whip it into shape. Shape it up. Get it straight.
Okay.
That's Devo.
Now whip it into shape. Shape it up. Get it straight. Go forward. Move ahead. Try to detect it. It's not too late to whip it. Whip it good. Goody to the max.
Okay. Now, he knew that one, and he was psyched to do it.
By the way,
he was psyched to do that one.
I didn't have to adjust one thing on that. Like, that dude rocks Devo in his car. Like, it goes Houdini into Devo in his 80s cool mix.
Houdini. He went from 5 minutes of funk and Big Mouth to Whip It.
Yeah, freaks go out at night.
Freaks go out at night.
Into working in a gold mine. That's right.
Well, Salmon content.
That's right, working in a gold mine. Well, thank you very much, Mr.
Hey,
Troy.
This is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Troy Brown.
Touchdown!
And I love weird 80s mod rock. So today, I am Troy George. I am Troy George. Gnarly.
Come a chameleon. You come and go. You come and go.
Troy George.
Loving the bees if your colors were like my dreams. Red, gold, and green. Red, gold, and green.
He knew that one. Like, that's when he knew. Like, that was another one that he almost even hit the notes on that one.
I'm going to look at Troy Brown a little differently this morning, I think.
You're going to look at him in that pink sweater.
I know. I'm going to remember that picture for a while.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here is the CBS Sports Minute with John's good friend, Amy Lawrence, who went to his wedding. Not the first one that ended.
No, the second one.
The first one that ended in failure.
Yes.
His second marriage.
The one that currently continues, yes.
The one that stuck.
Right.
The one that didn't cost him any money. This is Amy Lawrence, who infects our show now. Other than 2 to 6, she can be horrible on our show. This is brought to you by Jeff Carbone Insurance. Amy says the NFL free agent quarterback market just got a lot more interesting.
I'm a deus. Oh, I'm a deus. Come on and rock me, I'm a deus. Oh, I'm a deus. Come on and rock me, I'm a deus.
Roger and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, this afternoon, Patrice Bergeron, the Bruins, Tutcher and Rich, and 98.5 The Sports Hub hosted the Pucks and Paddles Ping Pong Tournament at Royale in Boston. They raised $110,000, all to benefit Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. Over the years, they've raised over $1 million.
We're really proud of that. You know, it's a big number, and, you know, everyone's working hard, the Boston Bruins Foundation and everyone involved in making this event possible, but also to raise the money. And you're right, you know, to go over $1 million. Over the past 10 years is pretty amazing.
This one is hot and sizzling.
Get up in it, start a rub, get a watchdog, farm a roller up, big wheels, Cadillac grill.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and last night was Pucks and Paddles, which actually was an event that the Bruins stuck around for.
Everyone did. It flew by. I will say that. Like, the event flew by.
It's very unprofessional, but I took full advantage of them hanging around and got my kids' pictures taken with all of them.
Well, also, I mean, there was when some of the guys were hanging around who weren't playing, they would go and like, you know, sign autographs.
No, it was a much better event. I mean, it's 1,000 times better than Cuts for a Cause, because really, if you even got a general admission pass, I mean, you had contact with the guys. They were signing stuff. I mean, there's no sell job needed. It was a far superior event than what we've done in the past.
Well, there was nothing for the guys to do at Cuts for a Cause after they got their head shaved.
And they would
go in the back.
They would leave.
Yeah, or they would just like hang out in the back and not be there, or they would take off. But this, they all wanted to see who was going to win, because they know that there's guys who used to run their mouth in the locker room, and when they were playing ping pong, Spooner was one of those guys. We got knocked out the first round, which I thought was kind of funny. But no, everyone stays.
I wonder if he was pissed at the person that he was playing.
Did you hear what I said to him? So what happened was, the tournament happened, and everyone was I forget how many teams there were. I think it was like 30 or something like that, with the people from the Sports Hub and all the players. And he got knocked out. Spooner, who Bergeron told us yesterday was the guy. Like, he was the one, the best one in the room. And he got knocked out the first round. So then after it was all done, and Pasternak wins it all,
There was a little mini tournament between four different players that the players had set up. It was between David Krejci, Patrice Bergeron, David Pastrnak, and Ryan Spooner.
At this point, it was not necessary.
So I went to Ryan Spooner and I said, "So now you're apparently supposed to be one of the best players out here." And I said, "But you got knocked out the first round." He goes, "Yeah, but it was doubles." I said, "So are you saying that the person who donated tons of money to cancer research is wasn't any good and was the reason you lost?" He goes, "No. That's not what I was saying."
That's exactly what you're saying.
That's exactly what you're saying, sir. No, but they but it was a great event and it went really well. So last night, I'm years past this. I remember when we first started doing Cuts for Cause. I used to like huff and puff about, you know, credit and stuff like that. I don't care. Like, the money's going to charity, it doesn't. But I did see one thing last night. And thank you to BZ. You know, they did a lot of good coverage yesterday.
Well, Roach won't come on the show anymore because he's all butthurt about spring training.
I know. And I feel bad for the guy. But we talked to him and, you know, the man looks like he needs a hug.
I didn't see him. He was with the plebeians.
Yeah. He was upstairs.
He's upstairs.
What do I need to go upstairs for?
That's a good point. Yeah. No need for you to do that.
That's right.
But no need to climb upstairs.
I'm right there in the action.
Sure. Right, you know, that's right. Shake
the
ping
pong mosh pit, as it were.
Pretty much. So, but this is the only thing that kind of made me laugh last night. I'm not angry. It just made me laugh.
The Bruins Foundation of Patrice Bergeron teamed up today for the first ever ping pong tournament. Not the first ever ping pong tournament. There have been other ones, but the first one they held. And David Pastrnak's team came away with the win in the tournament. The event raised $110,000. All proceeds from the event go towards Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center.
Like, that's Tommy Curran on NBCSN, the network that we're on, and they didn't even mention the show. Like, that's the one I was just kind of like, what are we doing here? Like, why?
They go out of their way on NBC Sports Boston not to talk about us.
It's
fascinating.
Of all the things, I was like, you know, just all of them, you know.
No, it's fascinating.
I don't care about the credit, but that was the one that made me laugh.
No. If it was any other network, I understand. That'd be like the station running promos and not mentioning the station.
Right. Listen, like, all day tonight, if I have Sports Hub, Zolak and Bertrand, Felger and Mash.
Some weird thing, like... Like, we're on the air 20 hours a week.
4 hours a day during drive time in the morning.
We're good soldiers.
Seriously.
They've invested all this in the equipment. They pay us, not a lot, but they pay us to be on television.
It's all
And it's just so odd that there's, like, an edict there not to mention us. Like, I freaked out the other night about that when I saw Felger and Maz had a best of, and then Rich had to remind me that... We negotiated not to have a best of. We wanted more money if they were going to do it. So,
right,
so I had to apologize to Josh. Now, Josh at NBC Sports Boston is great. I mean, he does the show, and the people over there that do the show are fantastic. But there's like an edict there not to mention us.
It's weird.
Like, we're on the air. You might think we're the worst, but we're on your air. I mean, you could easily get out of this contract. I think that NBC could eat the paltry amount of money we make for doing this. Like, it's fascinating to me. It really is fascinating. Like, they used... Like, okay, so you don't want to waste time during... Let's say that time is precious during the Celtics broadcast, and you don't want to mention it. That's fine. Like, and I understand you don't want to waste man hours making commercials for it.
Sure.
That's fine. I understand all of that. But to go out of your way not to mention the show that's on your network... Like, you could easily get rid of us.
Right.
Like, you're a huge media company.
And we, like, get along with everyone. Like, I haven't heard anything from anybody. Like, why that happened? I mean, last night, as I said, it just was...
They're building equipment in the new building to put us on the radio, or on TV.
It was strange.
What did we do? Like, honestly, what did we do? Like, what did we do? Like, I don't sit here and crap on them all day. I forget we're on TV, except when I put my code in the phone. Like what?
Right, because then everyone says, I know your color.
Like, what did we do? All right, so we suck and our ratings are terrible. Fine. Like, what do you want? Like, make it better then. Like, I can't think of a reason. Like, we don't make fun of your shows. We don't make fun of your talent. Like, what do you want out of us?
Yeah, well, you know, we were good friends with everyone there.
I wouldn't go that far, but nonetheless, I mean, back before, you know, very successful, I used to go over there and do the shows. I got along. I love Tangway. I get along with everyone over there. What if, like, honestly, can you guys, I'm not doing radio.
Can you guys figure out one reason
why
they're so against mentioning this show?
Well, it was kind of funny because we had Gorman on a while back. And
I get along with Curran.
Yeah, well,
I busted his balls for writing the Edelman book, but not because I think he's a bad writer, just because I'm fascinated anyone would give a rat's ass about Edelman writing a book.
I remember we were at the Super Bowl, and one of the guys we really like, who's one of the head guys over there, you went to him and you said, "How come you're not promoting the show?" And he goes, "Oh, we love the show."
No, that was at the airport. I was drinking at the airport. You guys obviously don't like the show. And he's like, no. And I'm like, yes.
Because Gorman said that they just stopped doing the promos. Now, I understand that. Once again, it's the Celtics. I get that.
I don't mind any of that. I don't care. Do whatever you want. And then you go, Fred, you do care. But no, it's fascinating. And believe me, people, if this was happening to you, you would be a little interested in it, too. I don't think about it every day. But that was going out of the way. No, the Boston Bruins Foundation and Patrice Bergeron, that's the same thing. That's like saying Boston, the Boston hockey team. That's like saying Boston and the hockey team, that's like Boston Bruins and the hockey team, the Bruins. the Boston Bruins Foundation and Patrice Bergeron. Patrice Bergeron plays for the Bruins. I mean, listen, it's for charity. I'm not complaining that we don't get mentioned. I'm sure we didn't get mentioned in a lot of places. If I'm necessary, I'm not mentioning us. That's fine.
Of course not.
But like, why do you have us on 20 hours a week? Like, you don't have to. Like, no one's making you. You came to us. We didn't go to you. You asked us to come on. And we haven't done anything. What have we done? So if the ratings suck, the ratings suck.
We don't even know what they are.
Of course I don't know what they are. Because I never asked, because I don't care. It's just weird. I understand not making commercials. I understand not wasting time during Celtics games. I understand all of that. But it's like a passing mention of the show. Like, wouldn't that help your product? Hey, like, the show that we have on 20 hours a week was part of something that raised a lot of money for a cancer charity. You would think that'd be, of all the things, you would think that would generate some sort
of
goodwill.
If you were ever going to mention the program this would be the time.
And Channel 7, whatever the hell other stations are in the market, I don't even know. Like, Fox. Like, I understand. Don't mention us. I understand. Good.
We're not angry. We're just curious.
I'm fascinated.
It's strange.
Like, we didn't ask to be on TV. Then you came to us. Now you put us on TV for 20 hours. No one's twisting your arm. And believe me, the amount of money we can make, NBC pays on toilet paper in a week.
We get along with everyone there.
I don't know what happened or what we've done to alienate ourselves from that station, but it is funny. And I'm not even bad-mouthing you now. I'm just interested. I don't know why you have us on their TV.
Well, it's a good looks. Our screaming good looks, apparently.
Because you probably make more having the dumb vacuum commercial that's a half an hour every time
I
come.
There's a boat you can saw in half and then put back together.
Because my kids and wife put the show on. That's the only thing they're allowed to watch in the morning.
Right.
Because they're so indifferent to it that it's almost like the TV's not on.
It's like white noise.
Right.
Turns them away from the TV.
And then I turn it on.
Dad again.
And I understand you have paid programming. And I'm sure it generates more money than our show does. But yet you sell ads. When we first started, there was no ads. Now it's all ads. Like, you've sold the time. Is it trade? Like, I don't get it. Is it like Superstore? They didn't sell enough ads, so they just jam them in on our show?
Maybe we need an 800 number to make them feel comfortable.
No, you know? I don't know. No. I don't know.
It's we all free. Get along.
It's That's essentially thing, free program. It's essentially free program.
Seriously.
It is odd.
And I would love, Josh, if you want to email me and tell me what we've done to alienate anyone over there, I'd be fascinated to hear it.
Because we like you guys. We've never had a problem.
You're all fine.
Yes. Yeah.
It's okay. When you told me that was NBC Sports Boston, it's like, we have your guys on the show. I don't know.
It just kind of made me laugh. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, it'll give some good promotions and PR to one of their own shows. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right, so
it's a good point. We have their people on the program constantly.
We like them.
Promoting other.
We're friends with them. Gorman's on all the time.
I know, promoting other shows on this on this television.
Yeah, we have Gorman on.
Seriously, we had Acerod Blakely on.
We talk more Draper, Celtics. We talk more Celtics Hagerty, than any other show.
Yes, all of them.
More Celtics than any other show.
Phil Perry,
Phil Perry, all these guys.
And so and then,
on the show constantly
and
rotating.
Also,
Draper
time,
comes on. I mean, like,
we just said that
every
yes.
time that there's a conflict in. And the Celtics are on both NBC Sports Boston and on ESPN.
We promote, listen to NBC Sports
everyone,
Boston.
Everyone watch it on NBC Sports. I don't know what we've done, nor do I care. But no, I do care. I'm curious. I'm curious. I'm just curious. About
one mention
thing.
About our contribution to raising money for a good charity.
See, I don't even really care about that.
I do because it's odd that you wouldn't want to somewhat generate goodwill for something that you've stuck on the TV for 20 hours a week. Like, by osmosis, even though you had nothing to do with it, by osmosis, you can say, hey, there's a program that occupies 20 hours of programming a week
that helps six children.
That raises over $100,000.
Gotta back away from that vehicle. Make sure we don't get in that vehicle.
My lord. All right. Anyway, that's what's going on. All right. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
What you want to? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
By the way, Fred just mentioned something. There was a concert in town tonight I'm going to go to because I bought advance tickets to Black Panther. Like, I'm legitimately excited about this movie.
Well, apparently this is like the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Well, you should see the tweets coming out of it because there's people who I trust who are tweeting things like, it's got a Star Wars feel to it. Like, it doesn't feel like any of the Marvel movies, and like you could make 15 different films from each of the characters. Like, you could make an entire universe out of just Black Panther itself. And then there's people who said they left the theater crying, like crying tears.
This is the most hyped, like,
it is.
In terms of critical response that I've ever heard in a movie.
I've never heard a movie get more hyped than this. And that's A, why I want to see it. And B, the crazy thing about that is I know some cynical people who saw it and said that everything you've heard, it's even better than that.
Yeah, there's a girl I'm friends with on Twitter that said it's funny, or on Facebook, not Twitter, on Facebook that said, that I went to high school with, that said she was weeping afterwards because it was more positive towards women than Wonder Woman.
Well, I didn't even think Wonder Woman was that great of a movie. I thought Wonder Woman was fine.
I don't like those movies, and I thought it was good.
It's not better than any of the Avengers movies.
I don't know. I've only seen one of
Avengers
them.
Avengers are excellent movies. Like, those are really well done, well written, well put together.
The only reason I went to Wonder Woman is because it was raining and I had kids. And I figured, they can see Wonder Woman. They'll sit through it.
Well, Black Panther's going to make $1 zillion. Because I tried to buy tickets to it, and I got at one of those theaters where you get, like, advanced seats. And I don't have the worst seats in the house, and I bought them, like, 4 days ago. But I have close to the worst seats in the house. And I guess it's on track to make almost close to $200 million this weekend alone. Like, that is a comic book character that 5 years ago, no one not named Adolfo Gonzalez in this town had ever heard of.
Yeah.
Like, who'd ever heard of Black Panther? And now it's going to be absolutely massive. And it feels like this is kind of like an event-type movie. But I'll do a review on oh, you're going to be gone. You're going to be gone next week.
So do whatever you want.
There you go. So on Tuesday, we'll do that when Adam Jones, the Prince of Darkness, is sitting in.
Yes. No one else is taking... By the way, no one else is taking vacation. No one else on the air is taking vacation over President's Day week.
Nope. No, I'll be gone, obviously, on President's Day, but that's about it.
It's fascinating to me. We get Good Friday off. I'm working that day.
Mm-hmm. All right, heathen. You want to be that way?
Yep.
You want to?
Okay.
Yep. Means I get a free day later.
Boy, that just takes a big step back.
Yeah.
Heathen.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. All right. So the Red Sox are in the throes of spring training,
and it's been interesting with all the lack of activity that's been going on. As a matter of fact, I mentioned it earlier in the show. But Dan Roach tweeted something out. He retweeted some guy who knew a bunch of stats and facts. But this is strange. There isn't a single player on the projected 2018 25-player roster that wasn't on the team last year. I can't ever remember that happening. I can't even think of a team where that's happened before.
I know. They specifically brought back Mitch Moreland to make it a full set.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
You can't in front of the Moore man.
We need some guy to hit fourth, so let's re-sign Mitch Moreland.
But this is strange.
Big power bat.
You know? And one of my favorite things was Dave Dombrowski talking about how people just come up to him and tell him, listen, you're doing a great job by doing nothing. Do you have that clip?
I do.
I want to hear this one more time today. Because thank goodness Steve Buckley and Dan Shaughnessy, who are going to have on at 9:20, are down there, because it just basically seems to be they're the only two people covering anything. Like, the only ones that they sent.
Yeah, during this thing with Dombrowski, there was a picture of it, and it's legit three people.
Yeah, right.
It's Shaughnessy, Buckley, and another guy.
Keep in mind, Steve Buckley's been writing in this town a long time. He's seen a lot. He is genuinely taken aback by Dave Dombrowski's answer in the middle of this interview.
You got it right there?
Dan, you got to pop me up.
There you
go,
pull
bit.
Up there. This is Dombrowski with Steve Buckley from the other day.
All right.
I recognize that your job is baseball ops and other positions, but there's clearly been some frustration from Red Sox fans. I'm not suggesting that you would then speed up a trade to make them all about the fan base, but at the same time, are you aware of that? You concerned about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I read some stuff, but it's interesting when you say that, and I'm sure that there is a segment, but I will just say, as I'm walking in here, I have a few people saying, don't do anything. Don't make any moves. You know, so, I mean, there is really, you know, when you say that, I go out every morning, I have a cup of coffee, and sit at a Dunkin' Donuts, and I bet you I have about 10 people a day that talk to me, and it's really split. So, I mean, your pulse, you must hear that, and probably that's a louder voice, but people are very supportive of it. Don't do anything that you think is unwise.
I'm sorry, so you're being approached by Red Sox fans who...
But I sit in Dunkin' Donuts by myself, and they come over and they talk to me.
No, and you're talking to a segment of Red Sox fans who say, don't make any moves.
Yeah, and individually, not a big group, but on an individual basis, yeah. Don't do anything unwise. There's both.
Don't do anything unwise. Well, what a hard hitter that is.
That's the best.
Hey, Dave, first of all, I like the idea of 10 people a day coming up to Dave Dombrowski as if he's a household.
Yeah, I know. You're in Dunkin' Donuts for what? 3 minutes?
Coffee? He sits down and he reflects.
He sits
down,
okay.
He wants to be with the people.
Right. For 5 minutes.
Take it point by point. A, the idea that people are coming up to him is ludicrous.
Sure. And then the number is fantastic.
B, why does he care what anyone says, any stupid fan says to him? Wouldn't you just say that, like, yeah, it's part of the job?
Because, Fred, they're the ones paying the tickets.
No,
they're the ones paying my paycheck. Fred, I'm all right. Dunkin' Donuts.
It's his way of saying, you know, there are Red Sox fans who are actually supporting my decision to do
nothing. Of course, that's what he's trying to say, but he's being really bad at saying it.
And then you're saying to me that a team that lost in the first round in 4 games and was humiliated in 3 of them, that
this is after you sold out your farm system to make yourself
this
a World
is what
Series
Dombrowski
contender.
Did, and this is what he did in Detroit. Is he spent a ton of money? Illich was dying.
Right.
Knew he was going to die. And he wanted to win a World Series. So the edict was there. So he went out and he fleeced the system and he spent, I mean, Illich gave him a blank check. And he went out and he got Cabrera and everyone else and paid them all hundreds of millions of dollars. And they didn't win. They made a World Series,
right.
and they got lost to a vastly inferior team.
But it's worse this time around because you paid David Price over $200 million. You gutted your prospect. You gutted your farm system to bring Chris Sale and Craig Kimbrell here. And by the way, both Sale and Kimbrell have been good. But what's very clear is after all that money spent and after all those prospects that are on the way out, and you gave your best prospect to San Diego for Drew Pomeranz, who pitched well too, granted, all those things have worked out for you're still not even close.
How about a team that was already
contending for?
That was already better than you in your division, just got the best player in baseball side.
Yeah.
And you did nothing to counteract that. And I just that's my favorite part. My favorite part of the whole thing, there's so many weird parts, is that people are going out to Dave, listen, I got some advice for you. Don't do a thing. Keep it just as it is.
No,
cool.
But then he changes and says, don't do anything unwise. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Like, try to lose.
No, the unwise thing, I think, was a nod towards the J.D. Martinez contract.
Sure.
I mean, instead of offering him, a lot of people figured it was $25 million
a year. Who cares?
Now it's more towards 20.
What fan cares how much you spend on J.D. Martinez? Like, who cares? This isn't hockey or football. There's no cap. Spend whatever the hell you want.
Nick, come in here. Nick, come in here real quick. Come in here. Nick, I want to talk to you.
Who cares what they spend on J.D. Martinez? It won't affect, and don't give me it's going to affect things in the future, because it won't.
You don't think if you spend $30 million a year on JD Martinez, with Mookie Betts going to make 30, and Price going to make 30, and Sale going to make 30?
Yes, I.
You don't
cares?
Think that matters?
No.
All right. Next.
You think that they're going to stop doing things because you think they're going to stop doing stuff because they, of the money on the books with all the pressure that's going to be on them to keep up with the Yankees?
Even the Red Sox and the Yankees are limiting spending.
Then you have the
payroll is almost $200 million.
The Yankees had the gift of, they told Cashman, we don't need to win every year. Make this thing together. And they built up the farm system. They signed Stanton. You don't think that they're going to start, once everything falls into place and they know what they have with the young players, you don't think they're going to make a mass, this offseason, you don't think they're going to make a huge run at Harper. You don't think they're going to make a huge run at Machado.
Sure they are.
I mean, of course they are.
They have a larger ceiling than the Red Sox
do. But don't tell me that they're all of a sudden going to be spendthrift, tight with the pockets, because I'll tell you this, is that this has all been a waiting game, and now they're going to unleash Cashman.
I think they've been
waiting for this offseason.
Of course they are. And real quick, I think Dombrowski is waiting because he knows he has to re-sign Betts. He knows he has to re-sign Sale because they don't have anybody in the system to replace Sale. They know he probably is going to have to re-sign Pomeranz after this year because he's going to spend more money on a free agent.
But I will say this, is that you have to win this year.
Sure you
do. You don't have a window of 5 years. This is a big year.
I know.
And
he's painted himself into a corner, and it's now, that's my point.
Yeah.
He painted himself into a corner last year and now realizes his team isn't nearly good enough and is stuck. Now he's got to play the waiting game
because he has
all those contracts coming at him in the next 3 years.
But the thing about it being unwise is ludicrous, because you have to do something to win. You are not going to win the AL East. You're not. So you have to make a move to consider yourself a playoff team and to be competitive.
Well,
you're not as good as Cleveland. You're not as good as the Yankees. There's a problem.
The selling point is the pitching. Anyway, sorry.
Nick, it worked out real well for you.
Right? That's right.
You have a pariah in Price.
A lot of ifs.
It's got Bogarts and Betts talking about how effed up everything was.
That was pretty revealing yesterday. So Josh Fowler gave me an idea, and I think it's a great idea. Nick, I want you this weekend to go down to the Fenway Dunkin' Donuts with a picture of Dave Dombrowski and see how many people recognize him. I want to see how many people actually know who he is.
Honestly, is it the Cleveland Circle one? No. I think Dombrowski was talking about the Dunkin' Donuts down in Florida.
No, he's talking about... Yes, he is.
He's talking about the Fort Myers Dunkin' Donuts? That's what I think. Am I wrong about this?
No. See, I thought he meant throughout the whole offseason.
I thought he was just talking about Florida. No, you very well could be right.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Anyway.
Let's go to
the one where he's probably the most recognized, at Fenway Park, in that area.
Fine.
And I want you to find out how many people actually recognize Dave Dombrowski. Get a picture of him and his silvery locks.
Get him and Orville Redenbacher. And tell me who's who.
Which one of these guys is the Red Sox GM?
Yeah.
Redenbacher doesn't look anything like Dave
Dombrowski. They're both silver foxes.
Okay, I thought you'd say maybe like Dan Roach. He's a silver fox.
Ooh.
Roach is more of a white-haired gentleman.
Get Dan Roach and Dombrowski's pictures. Which one's the GM of the Sox? I know which one loves the Sox more.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Roach not able to do the show anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Due to his, he does not want to badmouth his employer.
So we're going to have to wait till opening day to see him, right?
I don't think so. We'll see him before then. We've got to promise you don't talk to him about this.
Opening day. Well, no, because it's the elephant in the room.
I know. It is.
You can't have him on and not mention.
I told him yesterday, Fred, I was like, okay, we'll have you on, and you know what? I'll just pick up the phone, and you can start reading your poem. Just start reading your poem. I need the poem. I need your opening day poem.
Scott, go ahead.
What's up,
Scott?
Hey, can you imagine if I walked up to you at Dunkin' Donuts and said, all right, tomorrow when you guys do your radio program, do you mind not doing or saying anything stupid?
No. First of all, it would be impossible.
Right.
It would be impossible. Yes, but I mean, yes, of course. That never happened. Right. None of that ever happened.
No.
And he's so far removed from reality.
He's trying to be a man of the people,
right,
I think.
And he's so not that it's come back. All right, we will be back in just a moment.